Well, as I mentioned to you earlier, my name is Jack. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm finding victory over alcoholism. And I am happy to be with you guys tonight. So tonight, we're having a teaching night. Last week was testimony. Tonight, teaching. Next week, testimony. For those of you who knew, that's the way it goes. Teaching, testimony, alternating. Occasionally, we'll throw in something fun, a party, celebration, something like that. But most of the time, that's the schedule. So tonight's lesson is transitional as well as transformational. I guess I would kind of put that as the overall heading. And it's transitional because we're moving from step and principle two, which we've had a couple of lessons on, hope and sanity, into principle and step three. And so let's look at those as we begin tonight. Principle three says, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And our beatitude that we read earlier goes with that, happy are the meek, Matthew 5:5. And in step three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. And Romans 12:1 is our scripture that goes with that step. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So let that scripture sink in. Because I've read that many times and not really meditated on that. When it was talking about to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And I got to thinking about that word sacrifice, you know, that idea of what sacrifices were, let's say in Old Testament times, usually animals, usually involving death, usually, you know, where we talk about the ultimate sacrifice. We talk about Christ sacrificing for us on the cross, and thinking about that idea of offering our bodies as living sacrifices, and how deep that really is, how big that really is. And we match that up with the principle and the step where we talk about consciously choosing to commit all of our lives and our wills to Christ's care and control, and then the step to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. So when you think about that scripture, Romans 12:1 there, and those in the step and the principles, that's a big deal. That is, well, let me put it this way. We have a word in our household. I don't know where it came. I think it came from years ago with one of the kids mispronouncing something. We don't say something is dramatic. We say something is dramatical. And so I don't want to be overly dramatical in talking about the turn lesson tonight, but when we make that decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God, when we commit to doing that, that is, in my opinion, the single most transformative thing that we can do in all of eternity. And so to think about, so as I say, the lesson tonight, both transitional because we're moving on to step three and principle three, but also transformative because of the weight of that decision. And so that's what we're going to focus on tonight is what do we mean, or what is it, what do we need to do initially for those of us that haven't done this, and what do we do that those of us who have at least made the decision to choose Christ, what do we need to do to continue to be turning over and to continue in our walk. And so that's where we're going to use the word turn. You've got the handout tonight. The acrostic is the word turn. We're just going to take that those four letters, T-U-R-N, and attach some meaning, some recovery meaning to them, and kind of flesh out this idea of what do we mean when we turn our lives, turn our wills over to the care of Christ. And so let's dive right in to the first letter, T, trust. T stands for trust. That word is kind of loaded. We place, I think, a lot of importance on the concept of trust, but I think many times very little importance on the application of trust. Okay? So the concept is great to us. We think trust is, I want people to trust me. Is somebody trustworthy? I don't know if I can trust that person. And we put a lot of weight on that. And yet in practice, we trust kind of willy-nilly. As you came in tonight and to the room, you walked in, you sat down in the chair. It's like that. Now, you didn't put a lot of gravity and weight into that trusting decision. You didn't come and you didn't look at the chair and examine it and get down and make sure all the welds are good, kind of test it out a little bit. You just sat right down. You just trusted. You got in your car and you drove here tonight. You trusted the other strangers on the road with you, that they weren't going to drive into you, that they knew how to drive at least reasonably well enough not to hit you. We trust that the lights go on when we flick the switch. We trust that the person giving us the food at the drive-thru hasn't put poison in it. We trust all the time, willy-nilly. And yet this word trust, sometimes we build this up. And so what is it about trusting God that we can find so difficult when sitting in a chair is so easy? And so just kind of thinking about that. John Baker writes in this lesson, he says, in principle three, you make a one-time decision to turn your life over to the care of God. It's your choice, not chance. It's your choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. And I like that make sure that we're clear on it, that it is a choice that we have. We do have that free will. And that decision only requires trust, putting your faith into action. Faith is simply taking God at his word. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's really that easy to make that initial trust in God, making that choice to trust in him. And yet we want to make it difficult. Some of us want to run from it. I did that for years as an atheist. But it really is that simple. So it's always important to remember that our salvation is not dependent upon how much we love God. It's dependent upon God's love for us. And that is perfect and infinite. And so therefore, we don't have to worry. So theoretically, we should trust God as easily as we trust sitting down in a chair driving here tonight to celebrate recovery. After we make that decision to trust him, and if you haven't made that decision, I say this probably almost every week because it's a major part of my story. And I'm going to continue to share it because I think that God had the plan for my particular story to be shared and to be told. When I walked through the doors of Celebrate Recovery, I had not trusted God. I had not sat in that chair. I came in and sat in a chair, but I have not trusted God at that point. So if that's you tonight, that's fine. This lesson is still for you. But I just want you to know, if you've been thinking about trusting God and you've been building it up in your mind to be something that you've got to get your life in order to come to him. You got to just take care of a few things and then you'll be presentable to God. Know that that is a lie. That is just the enemy whispering in your ear. God, as we talked about at our last teaching, will meet you where you're at. Okay? And we'll talk a little bit more about that concept as we look at repent tonight in the R. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Before we get there, so once we make that choice to trust God, we then need to move to the next letter in our acrostic tonight, which is understand. We need to get a right mind about understanding God. Who is this God that we have just put our trust in? My own understanding, relying on my own understanding, resulted in a life that became totally out of control for me. When I was in control of my life and my own understanding of how the world worked and how everything was supposed to fit together and how what was acceptable and what was not It was a total mess. And in fact, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And what that proverb is basically saying is it's acknowledging that left to me, I'm probably going to, it's not going to be a good ending, okay? And I was literally drinking myself to death, as the doctor had put it. And so Scripture, you know, validates this idea that our hearts can deceive us. We need to be focusing on God and understanding what God has. So when we commit our lives to Christ's care and control, it requires us to abandon our own understanding and instead get to know and understand Him and what He wants for our lives. Now, a scripture that is maybe at the counter and also from Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So it's kind of the counterpoint to that other scripture from Proverbs that I read. So we need to trust, as it says, as we just talked about, in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And so that's another step in this idea of turning to God, is we trust Him and we need to trust Him completely and fully. And we need to then begin the work of understanding Him. We do that by reading His Word. It's one of the ways. By being in a community with other believers. By being in community with non-believers. And what is their perspective? And how can we share or help them understand the God that we worship? As we trust and then begin to understand, the third piece and the third letter in our acrostic is R for repent. And that can be kind of a loaded word, kind of a churchy word. It can be off-putting to folks. I think somewhere in my testimony, I talk about, you know, before becoming a believer, the word repentance was not anywhere in my vocabulary. I didn't understand that whole concept. If I did, you know, in head knowledge, not in heart knowledge, it meant that I had to grovel and be sorry and just demean myself and all of that. And repent simply means to turn towards God. And the scripture we have that goes with that, or one of the scriptures we have that goes with that, is just very succinct, Mark 1:15. Turn from your sins. So repenting does require that acknowledgement of turning from your sins and act on this glorious news. And that's the real meaning of repent, is to turn towards God, to turn away from sin and turn towards God. So it's a two-part deal, and that's why I like that scripture, because it's very succinct in that. So it's not just expressing regret or remorse for something you've done. What are you going to do now moving forward is the idea of repentance. It's not just turning away or avoiding something. Okay, it's moving with determination and purpose towards a better something. As an alcoholic, I will draw on my experience, and there's a term we use in alcoholism or alcoholic circles talking about a dry drunk. And I spent a lot of years as a dry drunk. Actually, I never managed years as a dry drunk. Who am I kidding? I spent weeks as a dry drunk, okay, because I could never put together any lengthy sobriety time. But in those times where I tried to quit on my own understanding, trusting only in me, I would turn away from alcohol. I would stop drinking, but that was it. I would not turn or move towards something that was beneficial like recovery or God. And so I look at Celebrate Recovery as a ministry, as a ministry of repentance, because we don't forget the past. We don't ignore the past. We acknowledge it. We embrace it to whatever degree that we have, depending on where we are in our road to recovery. We know that there's a plan out there. We've seen God, in many cases, take that ugly past and redeem it, because only He has the power to do that. But we don't just stay stuck in that. We move forward. We move further on in our relationship with Christ. We help others who struggle with the same things that we struggle with. We get in community. We get into the Word every time there's a teaching, and most time, anytime there's a testimony. Testimonies usually have multiple scriptures that are quoted or spoken. And so I look at Celebrate Recovery as kind of a repentance ministry, in that we're not only turning, but we're going in a positive direction. And so that's what true repentance is where we turn away from our sin, but then we also move towards God. I thought I had something here I wanted to... Oh, I know what... I like something John wrote in the Leader's Guide. He says, repentance is to take God's point of view in our lives instead of ours. And so thinking about God's point of view in our lives instead of ours. All right, and finally that brings us to the N in turn. If you do the T and the U and the R... So if you trust in God, you begin your journey of understanding Him better, and you repent, you are a new creation. You have a new life, is what the N stands for, new life. And that's overwhelming to me, because... I certainly didn't do anything to deserve that new life. It was a gift of grace. The other thing that's overwhelming about it is I still sometimes have a default thought, word, deed that's not very new creation-like. It's old Jack. And yet, I am a new creation. And this is something that just intrigues me. It's why I gravitate to one of my favorite parts of Scripture is in Romans 7, where Paul is wrestling with that, I want to do what is good, but I keep doing the thing that's not good. He knows he's a new creation. Paul, more than perhaps most anybody with that personal encounter with Jesus, knows he's a new creation, and yet he struggles with old behaviors. You probably have heard the analogy or the picture before, but I really like it, that the concept, because it helps me when I start going, how, and I'm so frustrated, you know, as Paul gets to eventually in Romans 7:28 or something, is where he's crying out, you know, what a wretched man I am. But this idea that the caterpillar has the same exact DNA as the butterfly, and that helps me understand old Jack, new Jack kind of thing. In other words, I already am a new creation, even though I occasionally exhibit old behaviors. But my DNA, because of my trust in Christ, because of my seeking to understand Him, because of my repentance and actually moving towards God any chance I get, I am a new creation. I have the butterfly DNA, I just haven't come out of the cocoon all the way yet. Okay, that type of thing. Or I want to run back into the cocoon. I fold up the wings and crawl back into the cocoon. And so I just like that picture. I think I've encouraged you all over the last few teachings to this concept of live who you already are. Really take that in. Not, oh, I got to try harder. No, you already have been created anew by your trust in Christ. Now act like it, as I say. And I say that to myself all the time. Why don't I act like this? And it a lot of times comes back to, because I'm not trusting. See, trust our lives, that was a one-time, once-and-done decision. Your salvation is not at question as you engage in some of those old behaviors. Trusting my will, to Christ on a consistent basis. That's where the battle in my heart, in my head, occurs, because that's when I find myself exhibiting old Jack behaviors, I am fighting turning over that will. I'm trying to use my will because I want to do it the old Jack way, because either it's familiar, it's easy, it's comfortable, whatever. Maybe it's just ignorance. I don't know any better. I'm too filled with pride, whatever it might be. But it's turning that will over that I'm having the difficult time with. And so that's where, whether you are a person in this room tonight who has not accepted Christ but is thinking, yeah, I'd like to have that new beginning. I'd like to accept Christ. Or whether you're someone who's walked with the Lord for many, many years, I think that we all can take something from this turn lesson. And for me, it's that I constantly need to be refreshed in this idea of turning my will over to Christ's care and control. Scripture, we have just a couple, I think one or two here, maybe just one, for the new life. Romans 3:22 says, "Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty if we trust Jesus to take away our sins." So pretty straightforward there. I thought I had another one in here. So the old you were more concerned with saving your own life. The new you says, I got to give my life away to keep it. The old you is more concerned with how much can I get? What's in it for me? The new you says, give it away. Give and it will be given to you in usually multiplied. Lead at all costs was one of my old standbys. I got to be the leader instead of serve. In the new me. And it doesn't mean that we don't need leaders in this ministry. We don't need leaders in our church. We don't need faith leaders. It's just, you've heard that idea of a servant leader. Well, I never heard that concept. I heard the leader part. That's all I went through in old Jack. Servant is part of the new. So, as I say, as we look at trusting in God, understanding him more, repenting. And remember, repenting is not just not doing something. It's what are you going to start doing. That's as much importance as the not doing. We are given that new life. And as I said earlier, if you are out there in the audience tonight and you haven't trusted Christ yet, but you're thinking that's something that... that I want to do. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. As I mentioned earlier, it's fairly simple. It's asking Christ into your heart, and you do that just by a prayer. And so, if we bow our heads, and if you are out there tonight and looking to commit your life or maybe recommit to Christ, you'd pray something like this: "Dear God, I've tried to do it all by myself on my own power, and I've failed. And tonight I want to turn my life over to you. Tonight I want to recommit to trusting you with all of my life and all of my will. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And you are the one and true and only higher power. I want to daily turn my will over to you, daily seek your direction and wisdom for my life. And please, Lord, continue to help me overcome my shortcomings, my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups and my addictions and my compulsive behaviors. Lord, I pray that your power just fills me, that I become dependent upon your power and leave and basically exile my will power and turn completely to you. Help me do this, do your will, Lord. Pray these things in your name, amen." So turn, practice that. And I think, as I said, it is, I think, the most transformational thing you'll do in your life.